Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we know that you work in mysterious ways, Lord. We give you praise that our technology is able to work, that we could further lift and praise your name. Thank you for the Sabbath day and for all that are here. In your name I pray, amen. Okay. Just give me one moment to get a few things. There's some careful water in that. So. Just put it here for a second. Yeah, that's too good. Okay. See, yep, I'll just take one music stand here. Okay. Make sure I don't spill water up here. All right, for those of you that have seen my box here, and you know what is potentially going to be demonstrated for you, please do not give any spoilers, okay? I know there's at least one of you in the audience, or maybe two, that are, you know, will joke about their concerns. But please, please try to keep them down, because there's a good message here, I promise you. Before I do start, though, what I said in prayer, in that sense that God works in mysterious ways, not just because of the slides and whatnot, but also because typically... how I've done sermons in the past here is, you know, I usually give my sermon title to somebody, and I usually have slides, and that person probably previews the slides for Bible texts, I'm sure, so that way they can choose their songs based upon what the message is or any verses that may get read. And I'm going to tell you something, that I had no communication whatsoever with any of the praise team over the week. I did not tell them a title, I did not tell them a theme, I did not tell them anything, and I want you to see that whatever they chose actually does go along with today's message very well. And it's very interesting, it's a very interesting thought, it's a very humbling thought, and I'm excited to share this message with you today. So I want to start by with a Bible text here, found in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So, if you don't know who I am, my name is Philip Summers. To some people in this room, I'm Mr. Summers. I'm a teacher and staff member at our school, Tri-City Christian Academy. And something that I've learned this year with students is that the students want answers very quickly. They want answers fast. And thanks to a lot of our technology today, such as calculators and computers, we can get those answers very fast. But does that mean that the students truly understand what the information is that they see? So a couple examples I have here, and I'm not going to name the students' names, but I can tell you they're probably not here today. But one of them asked me a question regarding an English class, and they said, "Mr. Summers, what is an ellipsis?" And I looked at them, and I said, "What's an ellipsis? Like, I don't know what that is." He says, "It's the three little dots that you put into a sentence to break it up." And he showed me an example of one. And I looked at it, and I thought to myself, you know, if you just told me how to use the three little dots in the sentence to break it up, I would have totally understood what that meant. But the word ellipses is not a word that I have heard or probably used in any kind of conversation since I was probably in an English class in grade school myself. Another example is another student came with me with a math question. And I like to think that I'm very good at math. The last, my last job, I had a lot to do with math in regards to time and calculation and weight and other percentages and things. So I like to think I'm pretty good at math. But the math question that they brought up to me, this young lady brought to me, it was, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something to the effect of, 2x times 3 over 4 equals 20, in some sense like that. So it was an algebra question, and she had maybe 20 or 30 other questions that she had already answered, but this one, she came to me because she said that my answer is different from her friend's answer, and we're just trying to see which one of them is right. And so I said, well, did you use a calculator? She said, yes, but we get different answers that way too. So looking at this particular problem, the 2x times 3 over 4, for me, when I solve math, I do it logically. I know that 3 divided by 4 is, you know, 0.75. So I thought, well, obviously, x is going to be 2 times something, and then you take 3 quarters of it, or 0.75 of it, and that should give you your 20, right? So I did that in my head, and my answer was totally different than their answers. And I looked at them and said, well, that's why I'm not your math teacher, first of all. But then second of all right, thanks to technology, we can get answers. So I pulled up my computer with them, and I looked at her and I said, first of all, the program I'm showing you, you can't use. Don't use it. It'll be considered cheating. You don't want to get caught cheating using it. However, you know, situations call for dire answers, right? Or dire solutions, right? So I pulled up this program and I typed in the math problem exactly how I saw it, and we solved Rex. And let me tell you, that math program gave us a totally different answer than any of ours. Although I will like to say that I'm proud to say that I was the closest out of all three of us. But it's beside the point. The thing is that, you know, we want our answers fast, but the question is, do we really understand that? Do we really understand what we've learned? Let's translate it to a Bible perspective. So Bible verses as a child. So think back to your childhood. If you grew up in the church or a church, you probably had a Bible verse that you had to memorize for whatever reason, right? For me, growing up in Sabbath school, the Bible verse, the reason I would memorize it was because I get a sticker on the wall by my name, and if I got a certain amount of stickers in the quarter, I would get some sort of prize or something, right? But the thing is, did I truly understand what that Bible verse meant? What was it trying to tell me, or was I just trying to get the reward? And that's the difference between learning the Bible verse as a child versus an adult. Sometimes we still just want to get the reward of learning the Bible verse, but let me tell you something, that some of those verses, if they are taught correctly to children or to us as we were children, we probably still remember them today and the reason why we remember them. For example, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? At the time, it's just a verse you remember, but as you get older, it starts to mean something different. Another example is the Ten Commandments, right? We probably all know the Ten Commandments, or at least most of them, but can you say them in order? Can you say them exactly from the Bible as it's found in Exodus? Probably not. Maybe you can say them in order, but something I learned as a child was the Ten Commandments song, right? That's how I learned a lot of Bible verses, was through song, you know. Number one, we just begun, God should be first in your life. Number two is the idol rule, no graven images aren't right. Number three, God's name should be never spoken in jest. Number four, the Sabbath for our worship and for rest. Number five, we all should try to honor father and mother. Number six, don't get your kicks from killing one another. Number seven, life is heaven when you're true to your mate. Number eight, don't steal or break this rule for goodness sake. Number nine, don't be the kind who goes around telling lies. And number 10, don't covet when you see your neighbor's house or wife. And that's the list that God insists we stay away from these sins. And that is why we memorize the commandments 1 through 10. So sometimes things do kind of translate to you as an adult. I learned that song when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And I could still, if we kind of put me on the spot, but I could still sing it to you today. But to give you kind of an object lesson of, or the visual aid lesson for the object, there's a science experiment that I did with one of my classes, and it was to make geodes. And some of you in this room have seen my little geodes that we made. But I'm going to compare a couple of geodes here that I have in my box. And a geode is, it is these rocks right here. They're kind of round and they're bulbous, and you can find them out in nature, just in various areas. But when you split them open, sometimes you will find these crystals growing inside. And sometimes it will be solid, but other times they'll be hollow like these ones are. And I don't know how well you can see this, but if I kind of do this, maybe you can see the glittering of the light in the crystals. And for ones that we made in class, didn't make it in the pot, I just put it in the pot so it didn't get crushed. And this one you won't be able to see too well because it's not as colorful. But you can kind of tell that it resembles the outside of a geode. And on the inside, it resembles the inside of a geode. Now the difference is, this one took thousands and thousands of years to make, if not at least hundreds, right? It takes a long time for one of these to be made. This one was grown in our lab in about 3 days. Some of these crystals are a little loose. There was one, must have fallen out earlier, but if I held it up, it looks just like any other rock that you could find in one of these geodes. The reason I compare the lab-grown versus the ones that takes thousands of years is because of the text I read earlier in James chapter 5. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. When we try and do things quickly, they're very fragile, and they're not real. Well, okay, yes, these are real minerals, etc. That's not the point I'm trying to make. It's very fragile, it's not real. But when we are patient in the Lord and we wait, look how much more refined we could be. We come to church, but what exactly does that mean? Do we do it for the quick reward, so to speak? Or do we do it to build our value? You see, patience is just one key to the coming of Jesus. But let me put the theme of patience into the back of your mind. Just keep that there. And I want to introduce another product that I have here. I shouldn't say product because I'm not selling it. But another item I have here. So let me move this out of the way. So this is a powder. It's called lycopodium. Now, lycopodium is a plant. It's a little fern. It only grows about this high or so, and you can find it out in the woodlands and mossy areas. And on the bottom of the lycopodium plant are these little spores, these little tiny spores. And to kind of show you a little bit of that, got a clear dish for you so you could hopefully see a little bit. Just take a scoopful. And you can see it's kind of a yellowish powder. But there are literally billions of tiny spores sitting in this dish. Each one is encapsulated in a tiny gel-like substance that hardens to protect the spore. It's also how the plant reproduces, of course. But a long time ago, people would take this powder and they would put it in hot water and drink tea out of it. So if they thought that they had an upset stomach, they would drink this to help them make them feel better. I have not tested that because there are definitely other things that I know work for an upset stomach. This I've never tried, so I'm not going to try that. But people used to drink this in their tea. Other times, people would use this as baby powder. Before we have what we have for today as baby powder, this was also used as a baby powder. This was also used to be used in the coating of your pills. So if you had a medication that had a little powdery substance on it, today it's different, but back then, lycopodium powder was the substance you would find. Now, some interesting things about lycopodium is that it's hydrophobic. That means it doesn't like water. It doesn't, water and the spores don't mix. So to demonstrate that, I have this little toy here that I'll drop in the glass of water. And if I were to take this powder, and I might need a little bit more, but if I put it on top here, you can kind of see that the powder does not sink to the bottom. But I could take my hand, put it into the powder, grab the toys, oops, and my fingers would be dry. Probably shouldn't be breathing that in, but that's beside the point. Well, my fingers are dry. And that kind of talks about, you know, reminds me of a Bible story about, you know, Peter walking on the water and how he was looking at Jesus the entire time. And as he was looking at Jesus, he can walk on the water, right? But as soon as he turned around, what happened? Started to sink. And that's kind of like this bowl here. If we're inside the bowl, if you imagine the bowl as being the hand of God's hand, God's protection, we are safe. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Now, the next experiment I have, I'm just going to dry my hand off here a little, or wash my hand off, is something that my science teacher growing up in high school, that he would do. And every year he would do this demonstration for the front of the class in hopes that, you know, it would be an object lesson, a lesson for all of us that we would go into the world one day and spread the word of God around. But then also he would sometimes do it during the year, depending on a few situations. For example, if people would start spreading rumors about other students or whatever, if kids were, you know, talking about each other in negative light, he would also do this experiment. You know, my science teacher, his name was Mr. Taylor. He was one of the best teachers that I ever had. And if you were here for a couple sermons of mine a while back, you would have heard me talk about a few other teachers of mine that had a different relationship with. Well, Mr. Taylor, on the other hand, I had a different relationship with Mr. Taylor in a sense that he liked to take things like this, put it in front of you, and show you all the neat stuff that you could do that you probably should not do at home or under some very heavy supervision, right? One time, he had some dry ice laying around, and he showed us how to stuff it into a 2-liter bottle and throw it out in the field, and we watched that dry ice explode in that bottle, and he thought it was the greatest thing. He was like, "See all the stuff you can do with it?" But yes, remember, he's teaching high schoolers how to do this. So, you know, it's kind of that give and take there. But this experiment that he would show, he would put a Bible lesson to it. So what I'm going to do is, remember, if you imagine that this little glass dish is God's protection, you're in God's hand, all right? And remember, this is the lycopodium powder that people used to drink. They used to put it on their babies. They used to put it on the pills that they would take for medicine. So you wouldn't think it's not dangerous at all. So I have a lighter. Maybe. Okay, I have a different lighter. That's why I brought two, because I knew that one probably wouldn't. So if I were to just put a little bit of fire in here, it's not, nothing happens, right? Doesn't light up. We're in God's protection, per se. But I put a little bit of, I'm going to light this candle first, if I can. Maybe I can't. I should have brought the matches. Bear with me, folks. I promise I have a whole lesson for this. Of course, I use an old candle. There we go. Safety first, right? So, when we're in God's hands, we're protected. But as we get older, our personalities change, our habits change, and we mature, so to speak. We learn to just let things go sometimes. We've learned to master what's right and wrong, but who really knows if we are right or wrong? And our compasses, they're guided more on a moral and ethical choice versus because our parents just told us to do so. We may start to lose a little bit of patience. Okay, remember patience is the theme here. We may start to lose a little bit of patience, and in turn, we might turn away from God. So remember, in God's hands, we're okay. But outside of God's protection, you know, things might happen. But just because we leave God's protection doesn't mean that we won't ever hear the word of God again, right? Because at the same time, those of us that are still in God's protection, we still have to do his work by sharing the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You have to go out into the world to share it. You are the spark that can ignite the second coming of Christ. For the final thought here, it's found in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'll read the whole chapter here because it says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in which of both of which I stirred up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful in the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' For this they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in will be burned up. And therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements melt forever in fervent heat? Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you all in his epistles, speaking in them the things in which some things are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. But you, therefore, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen."